Turn, if you will, in your Bibles this morning to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. I tell you what, we have had a great week here at the church, and the men had a great fishing trip, and if you didn't get to go, you might want to try that next year. It was a great time of fellowship, just getting away with the guys and getting to know somebody. We've got some real characters here. I tell you what, I won't go no further than that. But Exodus chapter 3, starting with verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came near to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. Then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the ground wherewith you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Let us pray. Our most kind, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word. And Lord, as we look at Moses' life, Lord, I pray that you will speak to the hearts of each one of us. For here we are today. You've brought us here, not by chance, but you've led us here. And Lord, we know that we're here for a purpose. And Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit now speak to our heart, that we will open our eyes and let you speak and let we see what the Word of God has for us. And we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. I guess all of our voices are kind of out. Mine is, all that yelling I've done all week at these guys. But you know, I like to watch the shows on television of restoring old houses. There's a couple down in Waco, Chip and Joanna Gaines, who's made quite a fortune on the television show, you know, Fixer Upper. And they take this old house and fix it up, something that may be falling down. And yet they fix it up into something beautiful that someone can live in once again. You know, there's a place for restoration for all of us. And we see that God specializes in taking those people who need restoring and rescues them and fixes them up and puts them to use again. You see, someone said failure becomes your friend when your failure leads you to God. Now, I believe with all my heart there's someone here today that life has piled in on them and they think, well, I have failed in my life. Well, I got good news for you. Let that failure drive you to God. And become restored and reusable for God. Now, as I look across this sanctuary, I see all kinds of people here today. And you may consider yourself as one whom that somebody will say, Preacher, you were speaking just to me this morning. Well, if you consider yourself a failure today, maybe you're failing as a, let's say, a husband, or maybe you are failing maybe as a wife, or maybe you feel like you're failing at your job, or whatever it may be, God wants to restore you. God wants to use you. You know, I had a guy one time said, well, I wanted to be a famous football player, but that went out when I blew my knee out. And he just didn't know what to do with life. You know, use that failure for something good in your life. You see, nothing could be better in life when you realize that failure is not final, that you can let God use you and bring you out of that and be useful again in a great way. And the life of Moses here is one that we can look at and see. You know, it took Moses 40 years to be a somebody down there in Egypt. It took 40 more years of wandering in the wilderness desert to tell Moses that he was a nobody down there herding sheep in Midian. And then 40 more years to see what God could do with somebody who learned the first two things. Now think about it. 40 years. Moses led those children of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. Now I want you to look. We'll be looking at chapter 3 and 4. I didn't want to read the whole thing because we'd be here long after 12 o'clock. But there is a life after failure, folks. Moses is 80 years old, and he spent 40 years back there, and the Bible says, in the desert of Midian, tending his father-in-law Jethro's sheep. And while he was there, he was preparing himself, or God was preparing himself spiritually and physically to be used of God, and he didn't even know it. You see, sometimes we don't know what God wants us to do with our life. And for some, if you're like me, it took 29 years before I realized what God wanted to do with my life. So if you're dead in the desert spiritually, and you're wandering around, and you wonder, can God use me? Let me tell you something. I believe he's in the process of preparing your heart for something great in life if you will just pull yourself aside and let him speak to you. Look at what it says in Exodus 3. Imagine for a moment that you're tending your father-in-law's sheep, and you're wandering in the desert, and you look up to this mountain, and there is a burning bush. This bush continues to burn as you look at that. And after a little while, you say, you know, I've got to go see what's happening. For the Bible says Moses turned around and was led to that burning bush. Now, when he was about to get there, God appeared to him and said, Moses, pull off your shoes, for you are on holy ground. And folks, let me tell you something. I believe any place that God is holy ground. I believe with all my heart, God is here this morning. He's in the presence of this building, and I believe that God wants to speak to my heart and your heart about what we are to do with him in our lives. Now, the Bible says an angel of the Lord, I believe this was the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ himself, appears to Moses. You know, God's his messenger. It's Jesus Christ that tells us that God loves us, isn't it? And it's Jesus Christ who came and showed us just how much he loved us by dying upon the cross. Now what a sight. The angel of the Lord appears as that flame in a burning bush, and that bush was not consumed. I believe there's several things we need to hear right here about that burning bush not being consumed. One is that burning bush, I believe, is a picture of Israel as the things to come. You know, they're going to go through the fire. But they will not be consumed. Now, folks, you may be going through the fire this morning. I don't know what you're going through. Maybe I hope that your marriage is solid, but it may not be. And if you're having trouble there, you may be going through the fire. But listen, turn aside to God, both of you. And get on your knees before God and let God speak to you at that point of need in your life. The men were talking about this week, and I'm not going to tell anything about this, but listen, the men were talking about this week, and I told them, there's something that my wife and I do every single night before we go to bed. We pray. We pray. We have been married 47 years, I think. She's sick at home now, so she won't hear that. But let me tell you, 47 years, I'm not going to say it's been easy, but every day has been a blessing in our life. Back when we had our children at home, one of our boys came in, and he said, I'm going up to the room to pray. We were sitting there watching that television, and he said, what are y'all going to do? Oh, man. I said, I guess we're going to pray too. And from that day on, we have prayed and we have prayed. And God has revealed His plan to us many times over and over again. Folks, the second thing God's people will see through this burning bush is they would survive the testing of fire through the ages. And we will survive the testing of fire in our life through the ages with God. And the third thing, the burning bush, is a picture of the power of God in our lives. Our God, Hebrews says, is a consuming fire. And with God, we can do all things through Christ. In Christ, the common. He takes that common person and He touches them and they become the uncommon in life. God wants to touch the life of every person. And maybe you consider yourself a failure. Well, let me tell you something. If you will turn to God and you will let God have His way in your life, He will turn you to something uncommon. And oh, time and time again, I've watched people that have turned their lives over to Christ, and He's used them in a mighty, mighty way. And the truth is, any old bush will do. God can use you no matter who you are. Don't think, well, I'm not educated enough. It doesn't matter. If you've got God, you've got all the education you need. You see, that's what God does in a person's life. Could be a failed business you have. I don't know. It could be a loss of a job or a loved one. It could be a hurt in your life. Or it could be a song that God speaks through. We heard some great songs this morning. It could be a sermon. You see? The miracle is not in the bush, folks. The miracle is in the God of the bush. Do you understand that? The miracle is God, not the burning bush. It's the God of the bush, and it's the God that we have in our lives that makes us who we are. And you're not a failure if you've got God in your life. You know, it doesn't matter how much you make to God. He's not worried about how much money you make. He's not worried about how big of an education you've got. He just wants to use you. He knows all things. So we see a holy sound coming to Moses. Moses, Moses, pull off your shoes, Moses, for you're on holy ground. Now, you've got to be listening for God to speak to your heart. You see, so many today are not listening. You get up in the morning, I try to tell our men this week, have that quiet time with God. Don't just get up in the morning and jump up, put on your clothes and run to a breakfast shop or breakfast and eat something and say, thank you for the food, Lord, amen, and head out to work. That's not a quiet time. Get up a little early in life so you listen to your Bible. Or I listen to mine a lot of times when I get on my phone. And, you know, I just listen to God's Word. But you've got to be listening for God to hear Him speak. You've got to be listening to God to turn your life around. You see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. And friends, Moses was listening when God spoke, and he turned his life to God. And he said, here am I. Here am I, God. If you're here this morning and you consider yourself maybe a failure, God speaks to your heart. Why not say, here am I, Lord. What do you want me to do with my life? So we see the appearance of God in chapter 3. And then we see the assignment in which God gave him. God doesn't give up on us. Aren't you glad he doesn't give up on us? Man, I'm glad he called me and he called me and he called me. And one day I finally listened and God spoke to my heart. And you know, I found that God is always faithful. He's always faithful. God says, Moses, I have heard their cries. Whose cries? The children of Israel. They've been in bondage down there in Egypt. Their task is heavy. They're slaves, and they've been crying out to God, and God hears them. Let me tell you something. God hears our cries. And God knows our hearts. He knows our motives for what we do. God says, Moses, I have seen, I have heard, and I know their sorrows, in verse 7. Verse 8, he said, I have come down to deliver them out of bondage to blessing. That's the assignment. God knows our cries. He knows our sorrows. He knows what you're facing today. No matter what you're facing, God knows it. And Moses says, who am I? And God says, Moses, I want you to deliver the children out of Egypt. Who? Are you sure you got this right, God? When God called me to preach, I asked about the same question. Are you sure you got the right one? Maybe it's my brother. No, he said it's you. And I want you to deliver Israel out of bondage. Now he tells Moses what to announce. He says, tell them that I am has sent you, Moses. Now, I am. I am the God that was. I am the God that is, and I am the God that will be. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. You tell them that I have sent you. I am has sent you. You see, that's the answer to all of our questions. I am God. When you think you failed, you've got to realize that God is able to do everything that you need for Him to do in your life. Think about Jesus. He said, I am able. I am the door. I am the rock. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Whatever you need, I am. Now, folks, if you're here this morning and you need something, who do you turn to? God. He's all you need in life. You can put up an argument if you want to, but like Moses, you're going to lose that argument. God says, Moses, you need to listen to what I'm saying. You see, in his hesitation, Moses, you know, he didn't realize that he could do that. But God says, yeah, Moses, with me you can do all things. And then God says something kind of strange. He said, Moses, when you go down there and you tell them, I am has sent you, you can anticipate some opposition. You can anticipate opposition. If you read on down 19, 20, 21, 22, you'll find that scripture. Folks, let me tell you something. When you decide to let God use your life, it's not going to be easy. You can expect opposition to come your way. The devil doesn't like it when you give your life to Jesus. He can't harm you then. God has sealed you. You're his. But he can sure put up a pretty good war. That's the reason in Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says we need to put on the whole armor of God. Moses, you can expect opposition, but I will be with you. When I came here 35 years ago, 34 years ago, something like that, God gave me a scripture as I was driving out of this place. Man, I didn't know anything about Gun Barrel City. If I knew what I knew now, I'd probably kept flying. It's a pretty good place to live. But in Joshua chapter 1, God said, as I was with Moses, Joshua, so shall I be with you. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, I have given to you. And boy, the light came on in my mind. And I said, thank you, Lord. I don't have to worry, because I know that you're going to be with me. Every place that I step, God is there with me. I don't have to fear the unknowing, because God knows everything. You see? I wondered one time, I said, what shall I say? I'm kind of like old Moses. He said, I'll be with you. What shall I say, Lord? Trust me. I am with you. Man, I tell you what, did I get opposition? For those who are still left here, when I came here, it was a nightmare. I mean, it was the worst nightmare. I was down in my back. I couldn't even get out of bed. You know, I was laying there. God's called me to a little church over here in Gun Barrel City. I don't know these people. I don't know what to expect of these people. Gun Barrel City sounds like you could be shot. And I can't even preach. I'm on my knees in pain. And I, you know, these are the nicest people. They're a lot nicer than that Gun Barrel sound. They set a stool up there in Bronner Hall for me. And I got to sit on that stool and preach because I couldn't stand up. And I thought to myself for the first 2 weeks, God, you must have made a mistake. He said, I didn't make a mistake. I am with you. Who are you going to trust, Booney? You going to trust your surroundings, or are you going to trust what I say? And that's what we have to make up our mind. Are we going to have to trust our circumstances? Or are we going to trust God who's over our circumstances? See? Oh, preacher, I'm living all right considering my circumstances. No. You need to be above your circumstances. Think about it. God is God. Trust Him. Moses wasn't eloquent in speech. He said, Lord, I can't even speak good. I don't know what, maybe like me from Recklaw, and he didn't know English at all. My mother was a very educated lady. She has 2 master's degrees. I don't know what happened to me. I think she dropped me on my head when I was a child and just wouldn't tell me. But she said, Booney, they call me Booney in case you're wondering. My name is Byron. But she said, Booney, you butcher the language. I might have been called to be a butcher. But she said, it doesn't matter because you love God. And folks, that's what it's all about. Moses said, I'm not eloquent in speech. He said, I'll send Aaron with you. You don't have an excuse. You just got to trust God. You see, there is a God, and He answers all our questions that we have. And there is a life after failure. And God is in the business of restoring and reusing those failures. Moses failed, but God turned him around and used him mightily. Abraham failed, but God turned him around and used him mightily. David failed, and God used him mightily. Peter failed, and God used him mightily. Paul failed, and God used him mightily. And if you have failed, trust God to use you mightily. He can. And He's in the business today of turning failures into useful people that are beautiful for His work. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You today that there's someone here that needs to turn their life around. And today, You can take them at the very point of their life where they're at and turn them around if they will hear Your call and trust You. And Lord, I pray that they will simply step out by faith this morning and say, I want to trust God. I don't know His plan for my life, but I want to trust Him. And He will reveal that plan. There's some here that never have received Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they need to start right there, trusting Christ. There's some here that have already trusted Christ, and they're not doing what He asked them to do. Lord, I pray that they will come and say, God used me this morning. Turn my life around. And then there's some here looking for a church home. And if this is the place that God has led them, Lord, will they come this morning and be used again, fresh in You from God? He forgives all the past and starts over afresh with our life. We thank God for using us. Do your awesome work. In Jesus' name, amen.